This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back in on the drive. Thank you so much for listening. Coming up in 1 hour, we will give you a chance to win Avengers in-game tickets. You want tickets to the hottest movie event of the year? All you got to do is keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. Coming up in 15 minutes, Jay Binkley will join us in studio as we go around the AFC West. All three teams in the division have a very interesting day. Oakland has three first-round picks. Denver has a top 10 pick. And the Chargers might be one of the five most talented teams in the NFL, and they could really go in a lot of different directions. Also, wouldn't be shocked to see them trade for Josh Rosen. So we'll talk to Binkley in a special edition of Around the AFC West. But
you never had a lunchbox growing up?
I'd never had a lunchbox, not one single time. I just had a brown paper bag. That's all I had.
He-Man lunchbox, Lunchables, and clearly Canadian. That was a normal lunch for me.
So today is the first round of the NFL draft. We spent months agonizing, discussing the Chiefs' 29th overall pick, and then how inconsiderate they can be, and then days before the draft, they trade the 29th overall pick. So today, if you were planning on watching the draft to see who your Chiefs were going to take, well, I'm going to tell you that they've already selected somebody. They have drafted Frank Clark with the 29th overall pick, but they still have two other picks in the second round, pick 61 and pick 63, which they can do a lot with. We asked Matt Miller, what flexibility do they have with the second round picks? Here's what he said.
With those two second-round picks, I wouldn't be shocked to see him continue to be aggressive. You know, they have enough draft capital to have some flexibility. Also, you know, with those picks, they're not locked in. They can move back from those and try to gain, extra picks, whether it's in round three, on day three, or starting to look to 2020, which looks like a pretty good draft class.
Those two second-round picks, they really give you the chance to do a lot of different things. BK thinks on his trade chart that you can trade 61 and 63, and if you want to get back into the first round, you can. I think that pick 61 and pick 63 can get you an established NFL player. We think it could maybe get you Patrick Peterson. I think that one of those second-round picks, if you want to couple it with a mid-round draft pick, could get you somebody like Xavier Rhodes, who plays cornerback for the Minnesota Vikings. Having those two picks in the second round offers up a lot of flexibility of what the Chiefs can do in this draft.
And when you think about the players that the Chiefs need in the position of need, right, it's still secondary. Wouldn't we agree that cornerback is still the biggest concern for this team?
100%.
There's a bunch of cornerbacks that are slated to fall to the end of the second round. So unless you're the Chiefs and you fall in love with somebody, you decide to package your two second rounds to get back in the first round, to me it makes absolutely no sense. And I think that they hit the nail on the head when it came to drafting the most NFL-ready player in the first round by not drafting a player and trading for Frank Clark. For a team that was a coin flip away from getting to the Super Bowl, how much was a first-round pick going to help? It was a crapshoot. How much is Frank Clark going to help? Probably quite a bit, a guy that had 13 sacks last season.
I mean, funny you say that about cornerback, because Matt Miller would not advise this team to move up into the first round.
If you're looking at, you want to get back in that neighborhood that you were in, it's probably going to cost those twos, or you're going to have to give a two and a future two maybe. It would be expensive. And I think a team that has seven picks in this draft now, it's not worth it, because, I posted a seven-round mock draft this morning, and as I was running through it for the Chiefs, it's like, man, I felt like I got two really good players at 61 and 63. And when they came back on the clock at 84, that pick from Seattle, it's like, okay, there's still decent value.
Because, BK, on your trade chart, points-wise, you think that the 30th overall pick or the 31st overall pick, which what the Los Angeles Rams have, you think that's equal to pick 61 and pick 63. Why I don't want them to trade back into the first round is, we heard from Brett Veach. I can play the audio for you. He thinks that this draft is really deep at corner, thinks it's really deep at safety, thinks it's really deep on defensive line. Then trust your board, trust your scouting, trust your player development. Why move up to 30 to go draft a corner when you think you can get two really good corners at pick 61 and pick
63? What if it's not a corner? What if it's a wide receiver? What if it's Hollywood Brown? He's available at the top of the second round, and we don't know what's going on with Tyreek Hill, and you've got these two second-round picks. Would you change your tune if we're talking about an offensive player or specifically Hollywood Brown?
I would be livid if they traded 61 and 63 to move up to select one wide receiver.
I can't imagine anything that would make Carrington more mad.
I would scream on this show for the first hour of the show if that's what they did.
I'm rooting for this.
Like, we can disagree.
And I'm rooting minds, for it too, BK.
And then reasonable minds can disagree. I'm going to play for you what Brett Veach said. Brett Veach, before they got Frank Clark, talked about certain positions that are deep in the draft. Now listen, perk your ears up. Turn it up in the car. Turn on your desk. Listen to the position groups that he says are deep in the NFL draft in which you could find good second-round value.
I think in that first round, you're going to see a lot of defensive linemen off the board early. Certainly the quarterbacks that have been talked about, I think, will go. And then after that, I think you have a really strong early pocket of defensive linemen. And then I think tackle. I think there's a nice wave of tackles, four or five guys that are going to go pretty early. I think there's some depth in the second, third, and fourth round at wideout and at tight end, which would be helpful to us. And then I think the corner, the corner class is strong. There might not be that top 10 guy that you have every year, but I think it's deep in rounds 1, 2, and 3. I think the linebacker class and safety class is a little thin, if I'm being honest, but I think everywhere else there's some really good depth.
Wide receiver. Good first, second, third round depth. Tight end, good first, second, third depth. Cornerback, the exact same way.
I wish they could see you in here just shaking your head, agreeing with everything Brett Veach just said.
You got two picks in the second round. So get a corner, and then if you want to take a wide receiver or a tight end, I got no issues. If I had told you at the beginning of the if I told you Monday that the Chiefs were going to take the best edge rusher available with pick 29, they then were going to take a corner in a really deep corner class, and then they would take a really talented wide receiver or a really talented tight end in the second round, everybody would have taken it. So stick to the plan. They got the edge rusher that they needed. Take a corner at 61 or 63. Take your wide receiver, and then we'll all give the Chiefs an A-plus on Monday when it comes to hypothetical draft grades.
What if I said a different hypothetical? Because you were talking about trading both seconds to move up for a receiver, right?
Like, yeah.
You go up and you get Hollywood Brown. What if it's not both seconds? What if it's 1 second and your third-round pick moving up for a receiver tomorrow, and then you still have that other second-round pick at, like, 63?
I got no issues with that.
Okay. So it's just the 2 second-round picks. You want to be able to make those two picks.
Yeah, I have absolutely no problem with if I don't know the wide receiver that would fall. But let's say there's a wide receiver.
Let's say it's A.J. Brown. He's a receiver from Ole Miss. He's a really good player that could play slot or outside.
You can have A.J. Brown. That's perfectly fine. Let's say that A.J. Brown's sitting there, and it's at pick 50. And you really want A.J. Brown. And you're thinking, all right, let's trade pick 61. Let's trade pick 103, and let's go get A.J. Brown, but let's keep pick 63, and the way the board is shaping, there's a corner that we really love. But they have to take a corner in the second or third round. They have to. Corner is the only spot left on defense in a draft that they think is deep that they haven't taken a play.
What am I missing here? You understand how much this team needs a cornerback. Patrick Peterson is out there. Now, maybe it's just hearsay. Nothing's going to happen. But why would you not take your 2 second-round picks to trade for Patrick Peterson opposed to the crapshoot? The 2 second-round picks could end up being players like Derek Nnadi, Breeland Speaks, Dorian O'Daniel, guys that in the last couple of years haven't exactly netted too much when it comes to actual on-the-field production. There's always a risk through the draft, which is why I like the Frank Clark move. I think that if you get Frank Clark, that's much less risk than any first-round pick you could take at 29. I don't understand why we wouldn't say the same thing about packaging too low second-round picks to get a very proven commodity in Patrick Peterson that, to me, could be the difference between getting to and winning the Super Bowl and not.
I just don't understand why whenever we have these conversations when people talk about draft picks, they only bring up failed picks. That's you're right. Sometimes you trade failed picks for. That's absolutely right. But we agree, if this was a hypothetical and we were saying, hey, you can trade a 3 and a 5 to go get a player, go get him. Well, they use a 3 to go get Kareem Hunt, and they use the 5 to go get Tyreek Hill. Those are valuable assets that I don't like in these conversations. We only bring up picks that don't work in the second round, like Tano Passanio, and we don't bring up that with a second-round pick, they drafted Chris Jones. With a third-round pick, they used Travis Kelce. Like, draft picks have value. Now you have to cash in on the value, but they have value. So, again, I've never said I don't want to trade for Patrick Peterson. All I'm saying is don't give up both of those picks. If they want to trade pick 61 and then a third-round pick next year to go get Patrick Peterson, tell me where to sign up. I'm just not willing to trade pick 61 and 63 for Patrick Peterson and then turn around and give him a contract. We already traded pick 29 overall and a second round pick to pay for Frank Clark. Now we got to give pick 61 and pick 63 to pay somebody else. I don't think that's good team management.
You just did what I did at the other extreme, right? I gave you draft picks that didn't work out. You gave me Kareem Hunt as a rookie, was the rushing champion, a third round pick. You gave me Tyreek Hill, who every team passed up on five times. I mean, I get it. Sometimes you can find a Chris Jones. I'm just suggesting that I don't really care how much the player develops that they draft in the second round, or two players that they end up drafting in the second round tomorrow, 3-4 years from now. It's not about development. It's about winning a Super Bowl right now, which is why if Patrick Peterson, and again, it's a big if that guy's available, and if they would take your 2 second round picks, to me, what's the quickest way for this team to win a Super Bowl? It's with the most ready NFL players. I don't care if they end up getting with the 61st and 63rd pick, the best gems in the second round of any team tomorrow. I don't care about that. I care about winning a Super Bowl in the next couple of years while Patrick Mahomes is surrounded by probably the most talent he's ever going to have around him.
But we agree that has value. Like, I don't know how you can say I don't care about them drafting two really good players in the second round.
I just don't care about 3 or 4 years from now. I understand the window's still going to be open. I care about winning the Super Bowl or multiple Super Bowls in the next couple of years.
But why couldn't they help you over the next couple of years? Like, why do you have to wait?
As much as Patrick Peterson? The odds are that Patrick Peterson is going to be much more productive over the next 2 years than whoever you pick with 61 and 63. Same reason why you go out and get Frank Clark and don't spend that first round pick. Could you maybe find a gem at the bottom of the first round that's not going to cost you nearly as much money that has the same type of production? Yeah, but I doubt it.
I'm going to play a trump card here. Have you ever played spades before? Where they played the ace of spades?
Yeah, of course.
The Chiefs have pick 61 and pick 63, right?
Yeah.
Guess what pick Frank Clark was in the NFL draft? Take a guess.
I honestly have no idea.
BK. Take a guess. You guys are going to have your minds blown. I looked this up the other day.
I'm pretty sure it was 63. It was one of those two.
Frank Clark was selected in the 2015 second round at pick 63. It's not hard to find good players in the second round of the NFL draft. We're not talking about seventh round flyers here. We're talking about top 100 players. Where if you think that your team can scout and develop it.
Well, with that theory, why ever draft a quarterback? Tom Brady went number 200.
But we agree. Seattle can scout and develop. Let's see if Brett Veach can scout and develop, because Dorsey could. Dorsey found second, third, fourth, fifth round
value.
He
was great in the draft. He was unbelievable.
He was fantastic at it. Let's see if Veach is. Because think about it. Frank Clark just gave Seattle 4 years of club control at nothing, and then they turn around and turn Frank Clark into a first and a second round draft pick. We all would take with pick 63 for them to sign somebody close to Frank Clark. You can't do that if you never select in the NFL draft. You can never have good cost control players if you don't select in the NFL. I feel like we all know that.
I think John Dorsey spoiled you a little bit, because when he picked, those players were productive right away. I mean, Kareem Hunt, nobody wanted him. He led the league in rushing. Tyreek Hill, nobody wanted him. He's a top five wide receiver. Patrick Mahomes, nine other teams passed up on him. He's maybe the best quarterback of this young generation. So I think we've gotten a little bit spoiled with John Dorsey. When he picked, they hit, and they hit right away. That's the exception to the rule. Most of the time, or a lot of times, your draft nets kind of like last year. The Chiefs spent every one of their picks on the defensive side. How much did last year's draft class help the team on the field at all? Did it?
They also didn't have a first-round pick last year, and they used the first-round pick.
They don't have one this year either.
I'm saying, but you use your resources to better your team. That was the best way to do it. I wouldn't do that with every single draft pick. I'm not anti-ever trading draft picks. I just think sometimes you should select good college players, because that's one of the best ways. That's how you get Travis Kelce. That's how you get Tyreek Hill. That's how you get
You build if you're far away. But if you're as close as this team is, you don't need to build through the draft. I'm not saying you throw away every draft pick and just get free agents. I'm just saying if there's a guy available like Patrick Peterson, if you have the assets available, which the Chiefs do, a couple of second round picks, then you go ahead and make the move.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll be joined in studio by Jay Binkley. We'll go around the AFC West. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Back in on The Drive, coming up in just a little bit, we'll check in with Matt Miller. Follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. He also works with Bleacher Report. We'll also give you a chance to win tickets to see Avengers Endgame in the 5 o'clock hour. But right now, we are very happy to be joined by Jay Binkley. Follow him on Twitter at Three Guys in a Garage. He is also the host of Bink at Night. So, Bink, the AFC West is actually very interesting when it comes to the NFL draft. We're going to go around the AFC West. Hit it, BK.
All right, guys, let's start with the Denver Broncos. They're selecting at number 10 overall. And the big question is, are they going to take Drew Lock? What are you guys expecting when the Broncos are on the clock at number 10 overall?
You know, I think it's a real good possibility. only because John Elway personally went out to Columbia to see him in the press box. He was there, and I think he's been very interested. And you heard a lot of smoke at first, but not a lot of smoke lately. And sometimes that's what NFL teams do. They're hot on the trail, but then they kind of back off because they don't want somebody else taking them. You want to see if they're going to fall. But I think it's a real good possibility Denver goes that direction. They go defense with Fangio at head coach. I can see him going offensive skill position to sit behind Joe Flacco, even though I don't know if Flacco's the best mentor because he wasn't so great with Lamar Jackson.
Pursuit of Drew Lock is so weird. There's only one team I think loves Drew Lock, and that's the Denver Broncos. But I'm not sure if they're going to take him. Like, Washington, I think, really likes Dwayne Haskins. If Dwayne Haskins is available to the Washington Redskins, they will do whatever it takes to ensure that they get him. I don't know if Denver feels that way about him.
I think the Giants really like Drew.
I actually think that Buffalo is going to end up trading pick 9 to the team that eventually selects Drew Lock. I think he goes in the top 10. I think that the consensus in the league is going to be we need to get ahead of Denver if we really want to take Drew Lock. I think Lock goes 9 in a trade.
I think he better hope he ends up with the Giants or with Oakland, because if not, here's going to be the chain of succession. Tim Tebow, Brock Osweiler, Trevor Siemian, Case Keenum, Drew Lock.
Paxton Lynch.
Oh, thank you. I forgot. I knew there was somebody in there that I was forgetting, Paxton Lynch. Clearly, John Elway is a great quarterback, but doesn't know what a great quarterback looks like. So, for the sake of Drew Lock, I hope he ends up somewhere else.
Next thing for you guys as we go around the AFC West on draft day, let's go to Oakland, where the Raiders are maybe the most interesting team in tonight's draft. They have 3 first-round picks. They pick at 4, 24, and 27. Do you agree with me, CDOT, that the Raiders are the most interesting team tonight in the first round?
I would say it's not even close. I actually think the draft kind of starts with the Oakland Raiders because they can go in so many different directions. I wouldn't be shocked to see them trade back, and then they just continue to acquire picks. I mean, Oakland right now is in a team-building standpoint. There's no team in the NFL that is poised to improve as much this offseason as the Oakland Raiders. You go get Antonio Brown, you pick up Trent Brown, you pick up Tyrell Williams, and you have 3 first-round picks, and you maybe can trade down for 4 to pick up another one. The biggest thing I think with the Raiders is I think we will definitively know how they feel about Derek Carr by the end of today. If they don't take a quarterback, then maybe he's the QB for the next couple of years. If they take a quarterback, then obviously the writing's on the wall.
I thought they were interesting last offseason, but it turned out to be for all the wrong reasons. Amari Cooper gone, Khalil Mack gone. This offseason, interesting for other reasons. Antonio Brown, they do have those 3 picks, as you mentioned, in the top 27, and I think they could go quarterback. I don't think that John Gruden, even though he acts like he's completely sold on Derek Carr, Bink, I'm not sure that he is. I think they go quarterback. I think they could go Drew Lock also.
I was shocked the Raiders weren't in on Frank Clark with all those first-round picks. I think that would have been a perfect fit, that edge rush that they need. I asked Trez Paylor during the draft special, how do you Mahomes-proof this division? I always thought with pass rush and cornerbacks and secondary, but he was like, you got to find that quarterback to go toe-to-toe with Mahomes. You got to find that guy to put up the points like the Kansas City Chiefs. I don't necessarily agree with that. I think you still need pass rush and corner help. I could see a guy like Ed Oliver, Josh Allen, somebody like that end up with the Raiders. I think Josh Jacobs is a certain pick for the Raiders. And don't rule out Rock Ya-Sin at corner, CDOT. Peter Schrager calls him the best corner in the draft. I've liked that guy for quite some time. I could see him in the division, maybe with the Raiders.
I wouldn't fault Oakland for doing a lot of different things today in the draft. Like, let's say they don't think there's their quarterback this year in the draft, that they've scouted him, they don't really love any of them. You draft a pass rusher with the 4th overall pick because you already traded one. You get your corner at pick 24, and then you draft Josh Jacobs. That's a really good first-round haul.
No, it is. And the most interesting thing that we haven't really talked about is Mike Mayock. This is putting your money where your mouth is. You're kind of the leading draft analyst. It's like Mel Kiper, Todd McShay running an NFL team. I think this makes it extremely interesting. Gruden and Mayock sent all the scouts away. You know they're going to replace them anyway. They're really paranoid in what they're doing. But Mike Mayock, who's been judging other teams' drafts for the longest time, now gets to accumulate all that knowledge. He has, we must not forget this, he has firsthand knowledge what general manager thinks, what general managers think around the league, where they typically lean. I think Mayock makes this extremely interesting for the Raiders. I think he might be the biggest storyline tonight.
See that, but what if Oakland does love a quarterback, but they just don't think the quarterback's going to be there because they think he's going to go number one, and they've got all these first-round picks. Any chance they love Kyler Murray and trade up to get
him? And they got 2 next year.
I do think they like Kyler Murray. I just think the cost to go up to number one. But if for some reason Kyler Murray does not go number one overall, he will be a Oakland Raider.
So I think they're building for Vegas.
Yeah, so I mean, let's say that Arizona's completely fooling us. and they're going to take Nick Bosa number one overall. Kyler Murray will be an Oakland Raider. They will trade up from 4 to 2 to go get him.
I don't think that's going to happen. I think that, well, I guess, I don't think Arizona drafts number one and takes Bosa. I think the number one pick is going to be Kyler Murray. It's just who's going to end up picking him. It could be the Raiders, I suppose, if they trade back into that spot.
Final team that we haven't hit on yet that's going to be drafting tonight is the LA Chargers. They pick at 28, but that's not what I find interesting. I find them interesting as a potential destination for Josh Rosen if Kyler Murray does go number one overall and the Cardinals are the team that makes that selection. C-Dot, are you buying the real possibility of Josh Rosen going to the Chargers and being their next quarterback after Phillip Rivers?
I think the Chargers are in a very similar position that Kansas City was 2 years ago in the NFL draft. I think their roster is really solid. So if they want to find their quarterback of the future, whether it's in round one or they want to trade for Josh Rosen, I think they're in a position to do it. I don't know if the Chargers have that many glaring weaknesses. I think the Chargers, from a talent standpoint, are one of the five most talented teams in the NFL. So now is the Rivers is getting up there. The end normally comes sooner than you think. Go find your quarterback. That would be the mindset if I was the general manager for the Los Angeles Chargers.
Yeah, I think he ends up with the Chargers. He's a California kid. He played at UCLA. And if you think about it, he was a first-round draft pick last year, even though it feels like we've been talking about Josh Rosen for a long time.
Is he okay to check the ego and be behind Rivers for maybe 2 or 3 years?
For a couple of years left, yes, and I think that Phillip Rivers only has a couple of good years left, so I wouldn't be surprised at all. In fact, I expect it to happen that Josh Rosen is a Charger by the end of the night.
I'm not sure. He thinks he's an NFL starter, and he's going to go be a backup for a while. I'm not sure that Josh Rosen would be 100% sold on that. They're in an interesting situation. I honestly think the Chargers go corner at 28, unless they trade up for a quarterback like you think, C-Dot, but I don't think Rosen's their answer.
Coming up in just a little bit, we'll catch up with Matt Miller to find out what he thinks about the Frank Clark trade and what it would cost for the Chiefs to trade back into round one of the NFL draft. Matt Miller coming up next. It's The Drive.
The Drive, 610 Sports Radio.
Coming up in 30 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win tickets to see Avengers Endgame, as that is, it's the biggest event today. I know the NFL draft is pretty big, but, I mean, the biggest movie certainly of the last 10 years is coming out today. I think a lot of you are going to go see that movie today. But if you're not going today and you're trying to get your tickets, go ahead and keep it locked in right here on 610 Sports Radio. We've got a pair for you. All you got to do is keep it locked in. We are happy to be joined by Matt Miller. Follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. He also does incredible work for Bleacher Report. Matt, we're hearing a lot of rumblings about Patrick Peterson. What's the latest?
You know, I do think there was maybe a point in time where he could have been available. I know teams were making calls about him during the trade deadline in Houston, but I don't think anything's going to get done tonight. If he were traded throughout this draft, it would actually be a pretty big surprise to me. I think they want to try to make that work. They want to try to keep him there. They know that not only do they like need to get this draft right, but they need to win some ball games. He's the best defender. I don't think that he's going to be on the move, especially – now that Kansas City has traded for Frank Clark, I think that might have been one team that had the ammo and the willingness to actually trade for Patrick Peterson. I don't think he's going to be on the move today, though.
All right, so Matt, two-part question. Why is it so back and forth with Patrick Peterson? Because I feel like over the last 6 to 8 months, it's like Arizona might trade him. Well, they're not going to trade him. Well, they could trade him. It's been so back and forth. Why? And let's go through the hypothetical. What would it take for a team to trade for Patrick Peterson in your mind?
You know, I think the reason it's been so back and forth is because you do have kind of an older guy who has a pretty big contract that will be up soon. It'll be up after the 2020 season. So some of it is just common sense and dot connecting of like, okay, you have a team that's not very good and you have a player that will be on an expiring contract that they're probably not going to give him what he wants long-term because they're going to have to move on and pay guys like Chandler Jones and that seems like a long-term future. So I think a lot of the reason that people hypothesize that Pat could be traded is because of that, just because of where he's at with his contract. What would it take? That's a great question. I think you're going to have to start that conversation with maybe a late two or early three. The contract makes it difficult. Like, he's one of the best corners in football still. You would think that would command a first-round pick, but because of his contract situation, basically anybody that signs him is going to have to immediately give him a new deal. And as we've seen, like with Frank Clark, as we saw with Marcus Peters, guys like that, your trade value can get dropped quite a bit just by the nature of your contract.
As close as they were to the Super Bowl a year ago, are you surprised that the Chiefs are one of, if not the most active team this entire offseason?
Not at all. That's Brett Veach through and through. It's to be active, to be aggressive, not to get complacent. And I really love you know, it's fun in January to be like, this is what they should do. And then you see things happen in February and you're like, oh my God, what is he doing?
Yeah.
But to be sitting here April 25th and see that you basically traded Dee Ford for Frank Clark plus the 29th pick in the draft. So 29th pick, you're not getting someone like Frank Clark. There's no way in hell that you could even, like, you're getting the luckiest of lucky if you think you're going to get a top five edge rusher at 29 overall. So I love this about Veach, that he is aggressive. With those 2 second-round picks, I wouldn't be shocked to see him continue to be aggressive. You know, they have enough draft capital to have some flexibility. Also, you know, with those picks, they're not locked in. They can move back from those and try to gain, extra picks, whether it's in round three, on day three, or starting to look to 2020, which looks like a pretty good draft class.
And right now we're talking to Matt Miller. Follow him on Twitter, at NFL Draft Scout. He does great work with Bleacher Report. You lead me into my next question about Frank Clark. What do you make of the compensation? You're someone that studies draft picks and understands the value of them. What do you make of what they gave up for Frank Clark? Because it was very Khalil Mack-ish.
Yeah, I got no problem with it, Carrington. I really don't. I like I said, he's 25 years old, and I think he's one of the five best edge rushers in football. I think he's better than Tank Lawrence. So, yeah, you're going to have to give him more money. He's younger. He's had less injury issues. So I think the compensation is right in line with where it should be. And like you said, man, I study the draft. I study players. And I do study the salary cap. I study it enough to know that it's fake. You can manipulate that thing as much as you want to. So they do have the ability to get Frank Clark under that deal and still sign Chris Jones and still sign Tyreek Hill and still, when it's time, give Pat Mahomes $40 or $45 million a year. So you can build a team around four big contracts. The key is you have to hit in the draft. You have to be able to find offensive linemen. You got to be able to find a linebacker. So the cap's only going to go up. We're going to have a new CBA in a couple of years. It'll be interesting to see what the percent of the revenue goes to the salary cap. But I think that not just Brett Veach and Andy Reid, but I think Clark Hunt, these are three of the smartest guys in the NFL. They know what they're doing to make sure they have the money to keep these core players together.
So you don't think there was a direct correlation between the signing of Frank Clark and Tyreek Hill? Because I kind of figured it was one or the other. The Chiefs would be able to pay Tyreek Hill going forward, or they were going to pay a guy in Frank Clark. You think there's a way to keep everybody around and everybody happy and everybody paid?
I think you can with those four guys. It works out well because you can almost stagger them. Like, you sign Clark now, if you sign Jones either before the season or after the season, you can stagger out the guaranteed money. You can, you know, Clark's deal is basically a 3-year deal. So you can move the money around enough. And I think with Tyreek, it's going to be interesting to see how they pay him because, you know, I know yesterday they said no charges are going to be filed criminally. I will be interested to see how that affects his value out on the market because it is a dude who you worried about him in college. You know, the incident there was the reason that he was off my board, the reason he wasn't considered, I didn't consider him a draftable player. It will be, I think, some of the Chiefs fans need to watch and see, is he going to get the Antonio Brown type money that he's probably worth, or are the off-field incidents going to keep him from being paid as a top receiver where you might actually be able to get him at kind of a bargain contract?
Matt, let me ask you this. Let's say that Brett Veach today is sitting there and says, I want to move up and I want to select in round one of the NFL draft. I understand that we traded 29, but I want to go grab me a first round value player. How much would it cost to do that, in your opinion?
You know, it depends on where you want to go. If you're looking at, you want to get back in that neighborhood that you were in, it's probably going to cost those twos, or you're going to have to give a two and a future two maybe. It would be expensive. And I think a team that has seven picks in this draft now, it's not worth it because, I posted a 7-round mock draft this morning, and as I was running through it for the Chiefs, it's like, man, I felt like I got two really good players at 61 and 63. And when they came back on the clock at 84, that pick from Seattle, it's like, okay, there's still decent value. After that, you have to use those other four picks just to continue to add depth for this draft, for this roster. So I don't think you want to get into a situation where you're, you know, like you've already borrowed from next year's draft. You know, and so I think you just have to be really, really smart about not completely mortgaging the future. I mean, I know they got some back for Dee Ford. That helps, even out the cost of moving around. But I would be pretty surprised if they tried to get back into one.
So let me ask you this to continue down this hypothetical for one more question. Let's say that they did mortgage a little bit of the future to go back into round one to grab somebody. Who, in your opinion, would it be for?
I think it would be for one of the corners. You've crossed off the needs on the defensive line, getting it not just with Clark, but adding in Alex Okafor, getting Emmanuel Ogba, that's a really good unit right now. So I think it would have to be one of the corners, which, you know, my argument would be Carrington and guys, you could probably come up to the early round two instead of having to get back on day one, just because of the way that we look at this class in terms of the corners. A lot of them are probably going to fall to round two. We might only see two corners drafted in the first round. So the value for corners could actually be at the top of round two. But I look at that, you know, we're probably going to see Rocky Sin go off the board tonight. We might see Lonnie Johnson, might see Byron Murphy. We could be here Friday night with Greedy Williams, DeAndre Baker, Justin Lane, some really good corners still out there on the board that you might want to be willing to give up a little bit of future capital to go get.
So that was Matt Miller. Go ahead and follow him on Twitter at NFL Draft Scout. He does incredible work with Bleacher Report. We got a lot to get into before we get to the hits at 5 o'clock and your chance to win Avenger in-game tickets. I just got a very interesting text from someone about Patrick Peterson. I'll read that to you. And Albert Breer updates the Broncos' interest on Drew Lock. We'll tell you that coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll give you a chance to win Avengers in-game tickets. Here's what Matt Miller said he thinks it would cost for the Chiefs to go grab Patrick Peterson.
I think you're going to have to start that conversation with maybe a late two or early three. The contract makes it difficult. Like, he's one of the best corners in football still. You would think that would command a first-round pick, but because of his contract situation, basically anybody that signs him is going to have to immediately give him a new deal. Your trade value can get dropped quite a bit just by the nature of your contract.
I just got this text message. It said, I can't speak for Arizona, but the Chiefs really want to make a move for Patrick Peterson. They are, in all caps, all in on next season. This is the part that maybe confuses me the most about Patrick Peterson, because we just saw from Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports that he thought the veteran player most likely to be traded today was Patrick Peterson, and that's what kind of got us down this rabbit trail in this conversation. The information on Peterson never appears to be solid. So this was 2 weeks ago. We had on Doug Franz from Arizona, and this is what he said it was going to cost for someone to trade for Patrick Peterson.
Yeah, like somebody would have to feel like you're one piece away, you only need one cornerback, and you're willing to be desperate to go get him. And then you would basically sell the farm of draft picks. The Cardinals have a terrible offensive line, so you'd have to be willing to trade a good, not like a cast-off offensive lineman just to say, oh, hey, we'll throw this guy in. You know, it's got to be a really solid offensive lineman, a lot of draft picks. And if you want to be nice and sweeten the pot, maybe a wide receiver, because they're hurting at wide receiver. But they really like the wide receivers in this draft class. So it would either be your current wide receiver that's good or a really good first-round pick in this year's draft on top of more picks later in other drafts.
So we agree. That doesn't sound like a scenario in which a team is really trying to move a player. I would say that's fairly unrealistic. Now, it's Sports Talk Radio guy. But we agree, that is a compensation package that is very unrealistic and that would signify you're not trying to trade that player.
That's more than the Chiefs have available to offer right now. Significantly more.
I would say that's more than what any team is willing to trade for Patrick Peterson.
Agreed.
And then I want to play one more thing. So I asked him percentage chance he thinks something happened with Patrick Peterson. Now, this was 2 weeks ago. Obviously, things can change. This is the percentage chance he gave.
I'd probably put it at about a 4% chance that he gets traded. And the only reason he would get traded is if it was just one of those crazy offers that no one's dumb enough to offer. You know, 15 first-round picks, sure, you can have them. But other than an asinine trade, Patrick Peterson isn't going anywhere.
There are no more of those kind of trades available for the Chiefs.
Did he say 4%?
4%.
I like that. Four, not 5, not 10. He's 4%.
Pick 61 and pick 63. Is a nice package. It is not a blow your socks off, we have to move this player kind of deal. It's not. I don't know who to believe, honestly, when it comes to Patrick Peterson. My guy texts me this. I trust him. He's never led me astray in the past. Charles Robinson of Yahoo Sports. If you don't know who he is, he works very closely with Therese Paylor. So if Therese vouches for you, I vouch for you. He says that he thinks Patrick Peterson can be traded. We talked to Matt Miller. He says, I'd be surprised if they traded him. We talked to somebody plugged in Arizona. He said that the 4% chance. What I think happened with Patrick Peterson is, I think Peterson has been unhappy about the direction that the organization is going, and the organization has just simply said, we don't care. We're not trading you. We have arguably the best cornerback in the NFL under a two-year, $15 million deal. we are not trading you. We don't think there is a realistic package that is better than what we think you provide for this team. I don't think Arizona wants to trade Patrick Peterson.
There's a lot of things at play here, though, because it seems to me like if they get an offer they can't refuse, they would be willing to trade Patrick Peterson because they're not where the Chiefs are. You just heard, what was his name, the guy that you brought off from Arizona?
Doug Franz.
Franz pointed out that, yes, it's going to take a king's ransom to bring back a guy like Patrick Peterson, but what did he say? He said it would take a team that feels like they're one piece away, especially at the cornerback position, from winning a Super Bowl. So he's basically describing the Kansas City Chiefs. If you believe, like I do, that they are indeed one cornerback away from being the best team in the league, from being the team with the fewest holes, from making a defense, it's never going to be as good as the offense. But, man, if within 48 hours you add Frank Clark and Patrick Peterson to a team that before had one of the worst defenses in the league, yeah, I'm all in. When I say all in, I mean if that was an actual option. If Arizona and Kansas City tonight or tomorrow had the actual phone conversation that goes something like this, hey, what's up, Arizona? It's Casey. Hey, how you doing? Hey, we've got these 2 second-round picks, 61 and 63. We're interested in Patrick Peterson. If Arizona goes, yeah, we would do it, the Chiefs would be insane not to.
But I would argue they've already spent their all-in kind of money. Your all-in was what you gave up for Frank Clark. You traded your 29th overall pick and a future second-round draft pick. You can't really trade for a non-quarterback. You can't really give up much more than what they gave up for Frank Clark. So maybe the Patrick Peterson, they were willing to do the exact same deal for Patrick Peterson, but I'm saying is going from what we heard from Matt Miller, going from what we heard from Doug Franz, of a it-would-take-a-knock-your-socks-offer deal to do it. You don't do it for 2 twos. That's not a knock-your-socks. That's a knock-your-socks-off kind of offer. Pick 61 and pick 63 is a knock-your-socks-off kind of offer. If that was the case, Patrick Peterson probably wouldn't be on Arizona already because some other team would have traded for Patrick Peterson
already. They're probably going to get a better offer than the Chiefs have, so I'm with you there. We're talking about something that's pretty unrealistic that either one of these things happens. It seems like Arizona and Patrick Peterson are at a bit of an impasse here, but guess what? Arizona's the one with the leverage, not the player, so I doubt he ends up going anywhere.
Earlier today, we talked to Matt Miller, and here's where he says that he thought that Drew Lock could go in the NFL draft.
He could go anywhere from 6 to the Giants to 30 to the Packers. And I've talked to Drew's family, and like you want to be able to give them like some good news of like, hey, I think he's going to go here. And it's just really hard to predict this year because there hasn't been that team other than Denver that we've heard has a ton of love for him. But, you know, if the Bengals drafted him at 11, I wouldn't be shocked. If the Dolphins did at 13, I wouldn't be shocked. Same with the Titans at 19. There are just enough teams that have a need at quarterback that I can't see him slipping too far.
So that's what Matt Miller had to say about Drew Lock. This is from Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated. The connection between the Broncos and Drew Lock isn't dying out. Word is that he's rising continuously in draft meetings there. Maybe they'll take him at 10. Maybe they'd be more looking at going back up to get him if he slides to the bottom of the first round. Either way, connections has been made. The interesting thing on Lock is the two teams linked to him the most, the Packers and the Broncos, are picking in the top 12 but don't have a pressing need at the position, making it tough to know where he is going to go. There are probably 11 different possibilities for Drew Lock. Like for Dwayne Haskins, I don't think there's that many possible options. I think there's like 3.
Yeah.
I think that Dwayne Haskins is either playing for the Oakland Raiders, I think he's playing for the Washington Redskins, or the New York Giants. I think that's it. I could make a very passionate argument for like 11 teams drafting Drew Lock. It's not really narrowed down at all at where he is going to go. But the Broncos just make the most sense. BK, you know this because you follow Missouri. Elway has gone to Columbia to see Locke at least twice, like 4 games, and made it public that he was there. Not like hidden in the back where nobody could know. I'm talking about John Elway has sat in the press box at Missouri football games to watch Drew Locke. At the Senior Bowl, they made it a point to coach the team that Drew Lock was on because they wanted more information on him. The Broncos have not been hidden or private in their affinity towards Drew Lock. I think the Broncos really want him. So it does make sense to me. Maybe they go somewhere different at 10 and then they try to trade back up to get Drew Lock. But the Broncos and Drew Lock, they've made a lot of sense from day one. I think they really want him.
Ruh-roh, Drew Lock. You know who else John Elway liked and went to go see play in college? Tim Tebow and Paxton Lynch and Brock Osweiler and Trevor Siemian. So to me, best case scenario for Drew Lock, if he's going to end up in the division, right? He's not going to end up with the Chargers. I think that's where Josh Rosen goes. So it's between the Raiders and the Broncos. If he ends up with one of those two teams, of course, the Raiders pick at 4, the Broncos pick at 10. So both very much in play. he'd be so much better off playing for the Raiders than the Broncos, because as good of a quarterback as John Elway is, he's clearly shown that he can't draft one and he can't develop one, and I think that would be purgatory for Drew Lock. So I think best case scenario for him is one of two things. One, he goes to Raiders at four, or two, he falls to a team that's closer to making the playoffs.
Do we know that John Gruden can't develop a quarterback?
More so than John Elway. No, we don't know that, but I don't trust John Elway when it comes to developing a quarterback.
I hear this when it comes
to
Gruden.
How many chances do you get, man?
I hear this when it comes to Gruden. I think the only reason we think this is because ESPN made us think that he was really good with quarterbacks because of a TV show. Like, there are no fruits of his labor. Like Andy
I did
Reed,
love Gruden's quarterback class. Those were great.
Like Andy Reid, if you think Andy Reid's good with quarterbacks, I can very easily go on Google and show you. Do that same
thing. YXXL Spider. Remember
like,
all those?
Like, do that exact same thing for John Gruden. Who? Who's the name you would tell me that John Gruden's really good with quarterbacks?
The only time that his teams have been good is when he has retread quarterbacks, Brad Johnson and Rich Gannon. He's never had a young quarterback that he's done really well with, ever.
The only reason I would argue Oakland is because they have Antonio Brown, where if that's your number one wide receiver and then your starting point, and then they'll go get you Josh Jacobs. I mean, just having talent around you is the thing. But Gruden has not once developed a quarterback.
True, and I'm a fan of Drew Lock like you two honks are. I hope that he goes to the very end of the first round, ends up with New England, and is a backup for a couple of years for Tom Brady. Then Bill Belichick's his head coach, because you know what? Bill Belichick, I'm pretty sure he is good with quarterbacks, right? We've determined that?
Yeah, he's pretty good with them. Right? Okay. Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City, and we will give you a chance to win Avengers Endgame tickets. All you got to do is keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive. 610 Sports Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.